Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Well, what a blessing it is to have Wednesday night to be able to assemble ourselves together this midweek. No doubt everyone has had their own struggles through the week. We all have our burdens to bear, no doubt about it. We all have different things we battle with, but God has worked it out to where we have Sunday is a day of refuge, and He's given us an opportunity on a midweek to come out on Wednesday nights to be able to find another place of refuge midweek and be able to be strengthened by the preaching and the study of the Word of God. And I trust tonight will be an encouragement and help to us. Already has been, just being here. And I trust that when you come through the church doors that you just leave everything else outside. Amen. Just block it out. The best thing you can do is to be refreshed while you're here so that you can go back out, have a better look at things, amen? Have a different look on things and have one that God can help you with. And so when you come to church, just try to block everything else. Just open up yourself to whatever God has for you. That is what you have need of to go back out and to complete the rest of the week, amen? And so I trust that we're looking to do that this evening. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. We've been on the studying in the book of Genesis, the life of Joseph, and just what a great Bible study it is, the life of Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ in the Old Testament, and with that, his way of handling things, his acts, his actions, and everything we've been studying about the life of Joseph mimics the life of Christ. And in doing that, we have been studying these biblical principles that we see Joseph living by that are taught in the New Testament. And what a blessing it is just to be able to see all this coming together with Joseph's life. The theme of the life of Joseph has been this, and that is God is able to work all things out for good. God is able to work all things out for good. And we've seen that in Joseph's life. There's no doubt about it. All the ups and downs of his life. One minute you think, well, God's blessing. The next minute you think, where's God? How could this happen? How could God allow him that has been chosen to be sold into slavery by his own brothers? All the different things taking place. And at the end, of course, most of us have already read the end of the story. And Joseph was able to say, God meant it for good. Whatever he allowed, God meant it for good. We find that very same truth in the New Testament in Romans 8:28. Okay, and so we like to quote that verse a lot. Well, it is revealed in the life of Joseph. And so God is able to work all things out for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so it's been a blessing to be able to study some of these things. Well, last week we looked and seen how Joseph, now as he is the right hand to Pharaoh, having the power over all of Egypt, and having at this point, after the seven years of plenty, now the lean years are coming, and there's no food anywhere else around except in Egypt. And so everyone's coming into Egypt to be dependent upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and Joseph is the one they have to come through to be able to get food to take back to their homelands. I mean, it's just God has positioned him for everyone around to have to come and to face Joseph to be able to get the food necessary to sustain life. He has this kind of position. He remembered his dream. He sees his brothers. He possibly knew, I don't know if it was on his mind or not, but his brothers, his family would have to eventually come to Egypt to find food. And we find that he looks out, and there's his 10 brothers, who some 28 years before that, last time he saw him was 28 years ago, had sold him into slavery. And he looks out, sees his 12 brothers. And Joseph had been blessed by God to be a blessing. If God blesses you, it's so that you can be a blessing. Biblical principle. As a born-again believer, nothing is yours, amen. You're not even your own. You're bought with a price. And so whatever God has given to us, however God has blessed us, He has given it to us and blessed us so that we might, in return, be a blessing. just a biblical principle that we need to understand to live by. And so we find that God had blessed him so that he could be a blessing. But now he looks out and he sees his 10 brothers. Would he bless his brothers? Or would he take this opportunity in the position that he had at this point to avenge himself? And would he punish his brothers? He had that power to do either. Only one would gain him the blessings of God and continued blessings of God. And that is to do the spiritual thing. But we are all tempted to do the fleshly thing. Amen? And you might have that position. There might come a time. God has blessed you and now you have an opportunity, a position to be a blessing or to use that to avenge yourself, to do something that your flesh wants to do. We face those types of situations all the time. The two things with principles we looked at here is you never reward bad behavior. Every parent has a position to either bless or judge their child. You have that every day. You're making those decisions every day. Do I reward or do I punish? Well, the principle is you never reward bad behavior. If you reward bad behavior, if you excuse bad behavior, you're not doing what's best for that child. And that will come back to bite you. Amen? It will be a hindrance to that child. The second thing is you never punish good behavior. You never punish good behavior. And so he didn't know. After 28 years, he knew that they did wrong in the beginning, but have they since then repented? And have they since then started seeking God's will? And are they now in a position where they can be blessed? Joseph didn't know that. And so he's in a position to bless or to punish. And so we find that Joseph, being led by God, is going to put his brothers through a test. And I believe it's God leading Joseph to do this. Everything about Joseph's life up to this point, he has yielded to God, and God has blessed, as he exalted God, God had exalted him to a position. God blessed him to be a blessing, and he has done everything right so far. So we wouldn't think any different of this at this point. Joseph is not testing his brothers to punish them or putting them through all this to avenge himself. I believe God's leading Joseph, and as we already know the end, we know for sure God was leading Joseph to put his brothers through a test to see where they were at, whether they would be blessed or whether they would be judged. Amen? That's where we're at tonight. So stand with me. We're going to read on this next part. Now Joseph's there, and Joseph is going to put them to a test to determine where they're at in their spiritual walk with God. Genesis chapter 42, many times God takes us through trials to prove us, not so that God might learn. God already knows. We go through trials so that we can prove to ourselves what kind of faith we have, what kind of trust we have, where we're at in our spiritual walk with God. God already knows. God's not mocked. He's not deceived. He understands. He sees it more clearly than anyone else. But he takes us through those trials and those testings so that we might learn a little bit more about ourselves. So Joseph is taking his brothers. The brothers would go through the test so Joseph might see for himself and that the brothers might know likewise. So Genesis chapter 42, verse 9, we'll read it down to verse 24. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, right after he sees them, he remembers the dreams, ye are spies. To see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my Lord, calling Joseph Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come, bowing down to him as his servants. Joseph remembered his dream, and he told them at one point, that's what God revealed to me, that you'd be bowing down to me. He didn't understand it, but now it's come to pass. without even realizing the brothers don't understand. They don't see this. They don't know this is Joseph. Joseph knows this is his brothers. And he remembers what God revealed to him 28 years ago about what would take place. He didn't know it was going to take 28 years. Didn't realize he'd have to go through everything, but he realized this is where God wanted him to be. We are of one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. We're trustworthy. We're with you. We're not against you, that type of thing. And he said unto them, Nay, but to seek the nakedness of the land ye are come. Rather harsh with them. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it, that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live. This do and live, for I fear God, Joseph. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul, thinking back to 28 years ago when they sold Joseph into slavery. We saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child? And you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also is his blood is required. They knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. He turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took them from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for your design, your plan of preaching the Word of God, how that your Holy Spirit is present to speak to each one individually as they have need to be spoken to. I pray that you would empower the service and the preaching of thy Word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Joseph accuses his brothers right after he sees them and they come to get food. He realizes, he remembers a dream, and he says that they're spies. Accuses his 10 brothers of being spies. They try to convince him that they're not. If you look there in verse 10, and they said to him, Nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants. They respect him. They look to him and say, You're our Lord, and we're your servants. We're not come from any other nation. Now, at that time, you would think that if there was other powerful nations around, they would want to come in and spy out the land so that they could come in and take over the land and to take the food that was there. And so it was a viable thought that he believed them to be spies. And so they said, No, we're not there. We're not spies. And he said to them, Nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. And then he says, we are one man's sons. We are true men. We're telling you the truth. We're just a family, and we're coming just to buy food. We're servants of Pharaoh. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. So they're trying to convince him that they're not spies. And he comes across rather harshly, and he tells them, you're not convincing me of that. I believe that you're spies, and so you must be spies. Nay, you come to see the nakedness of the land. Well, this forced them to give a family background. If they weren't spies, then they would have to prove to him where they came from. And so then they come to him, verse 13, and they said, thy servants are 12 brethren. You check it out. There was 12 of us. 12 boys born to our mother and father, our father, Jacob, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. There was 12 of us. One of us stayed home. That's the youngest. I had to think about the one that's not. I really don't know what happened to Joseph. They, at this time, 28 years, how could he have survived slavery? They're saying that there's one that's dead. By saying that, they would have to remember Joseph. Verse 14, and Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. He said, I still believe you're spies. But you tell me that you're of a family of 12 sons, and there's one not here. Well, I'm going to make a way that you can prove that you're telling the truth. Verse 15 through 17, the only way to prove that they were telling the truth was they'd have to go bring the one son that they said existed. They'd made up this story, then who knows? The one son might not even exist. The father might not even exist. So now that you've said this, we're going to use what you've told me, and we're going to make you prove that what you've said is true. Now Joseph here again, having the wisdom of God, he knew who they were. But he knew that they didn't know that he knew who they were. So they would have 3 days in prison. Now follow with me here. This is, it's going to establish a biblical principle that all of us are just going to be wowed by. So here they are. He tells them that he doesn't believe them, but he'll make out a way that they can prove that's true. And so he says, hereby ye shall be proved, by the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go from hence, except your youngest brother come hither. In his mind, he didn't know for sure that his younger brother was still alive. He's trying to see if they've really changed. If they sold him into slavery because he was a favorite son of his father, what would have kept them from selling their youngest brother into slavery? If they did it once, it makes it easier to do it a second time. They convinced their father that some animal killed Joseph. They could do the same thing with Benjamin. If Benjamin became the favorite child of Jacob, and Jacob had placed Benjamin over the other 10, they could have done the very same thing. So Joseph does not know this at this time. He knows that the 10 are still there. They were in cahoots with each other. Amen. They had been working together all that time. It was the 10 of them that agreed to sell him into slavery. All 10 of them were guilty of that. The only one that wasn't was his youngest brother. And so now he says, you got to bring him to Egypt to prove that what you're saying is trustworthy, is true. says, send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies, and as spies you'll be dealt with as spies. And he put them all together into prison for 3 days. 3 days. 3 days to think about possibly dying in Egypt. He made them think that he did not believe them. He made them think that they were definitely spies. And as spies, they could die in Egypt. If he chose, he might not kill them. He could turn them into slaves. He could sell them to some of the Egyptians themselves and maybe make money and make them slaves for the rest of their life. They have 3 days in prison. The 10 of them together. He made sure they were all together. And so they're all there talking and bringing out all their thoughts. We might never see our family again. We might never be able to sleep in our own beds ever again. We might never see our father again. We'll never be able to have the inheritance that we had to look forward to. We might die in this land of Egypt for 3 days. Can you imagine living with that kind of fear? Talking about what was all going on? Thoughts running, imagination of the mind running wild for 3 days. Well, after 3 days, verse 18 to 20, Joseph returns. And as he returns, the first thing that he does, he points to his belief in God. Not just in any God, not the God of the Egyptians. Joseph had established his belief in the Almighty Creator God. Everyone there knew that Joseph was different. And yet, even Pharaoh had yielded to Joseph's God and said that there's no one as mighty as Joseph's God. No other small letter G gods was able to do what Joseph's God was able to do. Joseph's God's revealed that he is the true God. He's the one that interpreted my dreams. He's the one that has said what was going to happen, and it has taken place exactly as God said it would take place for these last 8 years. There's no doubt that all the Egyptians at this point knew that the God of Joseph was the true living God. And now, the very sons of Jacob, the patriarch, who believed in the God of Israel, the only true God of the world, and now he comes to them. They're supposed to have faith in that very same God. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. And they knew that Joseph believed in the very same God that they believed in. Joseph, this now powerful ruler in Egypt, has the very same biblical convictions as we do. He's looking and praying to the very same God that we look to and pray to. And so now he's bringing to their conscious mind an awareness of God in the midst of everything that's going on in their lives. It gets better. And he says to them, if ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. He knew that Jacob and all their family were starving back in Israel. And so Joseph returns and says, all right, now only one of you will have to stay. You're going to have to walk away from here knowing that you left one behind. You're going to have to go back to your dad and tell your dad that you left one behind. And you're going to have to convince your dad to let you bring the youngest son back to me. And he says, and by the way, I'm going to give you enough food to take home and so that your families can be fed. And nine of you will be able to take more back than just one. I fear God. I want to do what's right. I'm a righteous man because I serve a righteous God. Now think about it. He's telling all this and they're thinking he serves the same God as we do. He serves a righteous God and he's doing right by us at this point. But he says, but bring your younger brother unto me. So shall your words be verified and ye shall not die. And they agreed to it. They did so. As in they agreed to it and said, all right, that's what we'll do. One would have to be left in prison. In verse 21 and verse 22, they openly acknowledge their past and their sins of their past. And they said one to another. Now they're thinking about what they did. They're thinking about God. They're thinking about having to go back and tell Joseph that they had to leave another one of the sons behind. And they're thinking about having to now convince Joseph, or Jacob rather, to let them take Benjamin back to Egypt. And all this weighed upon them, and right after they agreed to do it, they said one to another. In the presence of Joseph, but not knowing who Joseph was, and not knowing that he could even understand what they were saying. We are very, verily guilty concerning our brother. They're acknowledging their past sin. They first of all remembered it. They tried to block it out. Tried to just let it go away. Sin will never just go away on its own. You might hide it. Might block it out for a time being. Never go away. They remember. We saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us. We would not hear. Didn't think about what it was doing to him. Didn't think about how our sin would affect Joseph. We didn't think about how our sin against Joseph would affect our father, Jacob. Didn't think about how our sin against Joseph would affect those that loved Joseph. It was all selfish. And sin is selfish. Sin does not think about who it's going to hurt, who else it's going to affect. We commit to sin because of our own personal lusts. We commit to sin because of our own personal wills. I want to do it. I don't care who says it's wrong. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it. I want it. I'm going to have it. Not thinking about the consequences of that sin and who else is going to be hurt by that sin. But now they remember. And now they realize they're guilty. And they said, therefore, is this distress come upon us? They realize that God is requiring them to reap what they have sown. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against this child, the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold also, look right here, his blood is required. He's saying God is requiring them to reap what they have sown. You know, another biblical principle, that if you haven't learned it to be true, you will. We will reap what we have sown. Galatians in chapter 6. Lesson there that there Joseph is bringing out is very evident in their lives of the 12 brothers. The very same truth God has revealed to us throughout the teachings of Christ, but nowhere is it revealed as clearly as it is here in Galatians in chapter 6. In Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 7 down to verse 9. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit," there is a positive in this sowing and reaping. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." But then verse 9 he says, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season," who knows when that is? God knows it. "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." The idea, the principle, the biblical principle of sowing and reaping is so evident, especially in how we treat others. I guarantee you, the way that you have treated others will come back to you. The Bible reveals some of that. Again, Matthew chapter 7, we find that Jesus in His great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." In the book of Luke, in chapter 6, book of Luke, let me just read it to you, write it down. Luke in chapter 6 and verse 36, the Bible says this, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Can I tell you that is a biblical principle that will follow you throughout your life? And I believe this biblical principle even impacts the lost. I believe it's just a principle that God has established for humanity. But especially for His children. They discussed in front of Joseph what they had done 28 years ago. It had caught up with them. Numbers in chapter 32 and verse 23 says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." We don't deal with our sin in a proper way, it's going to come back. We don't get by with sin. As we look back into the lives of Joseph's brothers, they're experiencing much of what Joseph had experienced. Now stop and think about it. Sowing and reaping. God was presenting this. They accused Joseph of being what? When Joseph came to them, the ten brothers at that time looked at Joseph and they accused him of being what? A spy. "You're just come to spy so that you can go tell Dad that we've done this or doing that, and you're just a spy." I don't think it was just a coincidence that now they're being accused of being spies. God has a way. God's not mocked. Amen. I don't know the Joseph. There's no way Joseph could have thought all this through himself. God was leading Joseph as he had done all the along the way. And Joseph was just listening to God. And God said, accuse them of being spies. Joseph was bound until being sold to Potiphar by the Ishmaelites. Possibly 3 days. From understanding the story, I believe it would have been 3 days' journey. 3 days he was bound. And for 3 days he is bound, possibly even gagged. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to hear him crying. It was carrying him out to sell him into slavery. And for 3 days he was thinking about possibly dying, never seeing dad again, never sleeping in his own bed again. For 3 days, who knows what Joseph went through in his mind and what he was going through, all because of the selfishness of his own brothers, selling him, not thinking about what it was going to do to him. And for 3 days, and then he had to adjust once he was sold into slavery, but possibly for 3 days. And now all 10 of those who did it, reaping the very same thing that they had sold him into. They would not know what would happen to them, as Joseph did not know. And Joseph had to just trust in God. His brothers now would have the very same thing. Will you do as Joseph? They were being put through the test to find out whether or not Joseph could bless them if they have learned their lesson, if they had repented of their sin. They're in a position now because they have looked to God that Joseph can bless them. You can't bless bad or wrong behavior. You got to get that behavior turned around. You got to get that behavior turned around and positioned in a place where God can bless them. And if they're positioned in a place where God can bless them, then God's servants can be a blessing to them. We have nothing but what God has given to us. And whatever God has given to us, we need to be able and be willing to use to be a blessing by representing God. God does not bless wrong behavior. And God does not punish good behavior. Even no matter what, how it might seem. You might think that this is a punishment and all I did was, listen to me, God's not punishing that. There is something good in the midst. God is working something that you don't understand. God is working His will. All things work together for good. Just got to know that. 28 years. In light of eternity, a blink of an eye. How would his brothers respond? God mirrored their sin of mistreating Joseph. Can I tell you, I believe that reaping helps the reconciliation process. Because when we start reaping what we have sown, it forces us to acknowledge our own guilt and hopefully lead us to the place of confession. Amen. God has a plan for sowing and reaping will actually help you to acknowledge what you have sown. And once you see what you have done, then the right thing to do and the thing that God wants us to do through that reaping is turn to God and cry out, I'm guilty. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to make right whatever I can make right. Now, I believe if we deal with our sins properly and confess them and forsake them, we might not have to reap those sins later on in life. But if you've never dealt with that sin in a biblical way, mark it down. Reaping is coming. If it's under the blood, then praise the Lord, there might not come a reaping because Christ has taken care of it and He's dealt with you as you had need to be dealt with. Praise the Lord for that. But if you have not dealt with the sin and you just tried to cover it up and put it behind you or block it out, listen to me, there is a reaping coming that's going to be connected to that sowing of that sin. It's exactly what's going on here. It's exactly the biblical principle that God has for us to learn through this. Acknowledge the guilt. Confess the sin. Go back with me and we're going to close. Go back with me. Because I like the best part of it is found in verse 23 and verse 24. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. They didn't see all that Joseph knows exactly everything that's gone on. And look what verse 24. And Joseph says, and he turned himself about from them and wept. Joseph wept after hearing their thoughts. Told him much about what was going on in their hearts. It revealed to him that they're getting to a place where they could have the blessings of God upon their lives. God had been working in Joseph's heart for the last 28 years. And now he knows he's been working in his brother's hearts as well. Because God was preparing them for reconciliation as a family. Satan tried to destroy the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes. What God had prepared for them for all of eternity future. Satan was there trying to destroy that. And God was working through Joseph to bring the nation of Israel back together again. To reconcile family and differences so that they can be one. And going forward for the cause of Christ to come. God's will for your family is reconciliation. Yeah. God's will for your church, any problems you might have with anybody else, God's will for that is reconciliation. God's will for you and any other believer, any other Christian, not that you be at odds with each other for the rest of your life, not that you look to have an enemy when God has us there to be each other's blessing to each other, be a help to each other. And yet we have own families that are supposed to be saved, and there's aught that Satan is working against to devour that family. And we have the church family that God wants to unite and to work through in a mighty way, and there's aught even in a church family. It's not God's will. And I guarantee you, God is working something, and He might continue, and it might have to get even worse for us to come to that place to realize God's will for my family is reconciliation. And you might not be able to do anything about what somebody else is thinking or doing, but you have full control of what you do. Are you at the place? Are you willing to say, God, help me to see my fault. Help me to acknowledge my guilt. Help me to confess that I might be right in my heart and right in your eyes with whoever else. God's will is reconciliation. And we will reap what we have sown. Many times reaping is what leads us to a reconciliation. Praise the Lord. From biblical principles from the life of Joseph. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Powerful message in sowing and reaping. I think it applies to everybody. It's just a principle that God has established for humanity. trust we'll look at it when it comes to our church family. I trust that we'll consider it when it comes to our own families, the relationships that we have. God's will is His family to be united, for His family to come together and to serve Him as one. Not going to have a musical invitation very seldom, do we, on Wednesday night, but there's an invitation. God's speaking to you tonight. You have need to come. We invite you to come. Before we take action against anybody, we better think about the principle of reaping what we have sown. Anyone else? Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word and for the example of the life of Joseph. And I pray that You'd continue to help us to learn these biblical principles, and not only learn them, but see how we might be able to apply them in our everyday lives. Now continue to be with us tonight as we leave here. Watch over each one, get us home safely, and bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.